missionaries that we support. They're going to tell you a lot about themselves. But they're, I think, the second newest that we support. And it's an I like to tell the story because it gets all you people that actually talk to us. Okay. One of the things we do in our welcome lunch is we say, hey, you know, we're always looking for more missionaries to support. If any of you know somebody to support, let us know. And normally it's crickets. Nothing. But Sally, who's sitting right back there, when she went to the welcome lunch, she said, I know some people, and they're getting ready to transition from Virginia Tech, where she graduated, to the Air Force Academy, and they need some more support. So we got in touch with Rob and Chandra, and it seemed like a great match. And so we've been supporting them for about a year and a half now. And this is their first visit to Del Rio and to Del Rio Bible Church. So they're going to tell you all about themselves, but we're just excited to have them here and the partnership that we've got with them. Rob and Chandra Enos, everybody.
So we are Rob and Chandra, and we have three boys, Samuel, Matthew, and Noah, which you'll hear more about in a minute. But we are excited to be here. I like to joke that we have Air Force blood because we both grew up in the Air Force, retired Air Force dads. I spent 4 years in the Air Force. Our grandfather was Air Force, her brother's active duty, so we just like the Air Force. So coming here is kind of like coming home, and just being on base, and you just feel the warm fuzzies of going on base and all the memories of all the years. But we'll share more about the family and our history here in a second, but let's pray together and just seek the Lord. Father, we do thank you for this day and just the excitement of being here and the joy of coming to extended family. And Lord, we just pray that our hearts would worship you and glorify you. Just give us wisdom in the words that you would have us to hear this morning. And just to, again, help us to glorify you in this time today. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I told the last service I kind of still had the warm fuzzies because I got the best compliment of my life today. So I already like this church. Somebody asked me if we were newlyweds. So I'm like, this is awesome. Love this place. This is great already. So no, we're not newlyweds. We're going to show you a picture of our family, but I think, are you going to click it or is it going to?
He's got to get the, he's switching programs
high
back
tech.
There.
Uh-oh. Anyway, we see our family as kind of our first ministry. Sometimes it can get really exciting to work with cadets and college students, and they're great, but it's always good to come back to the knowledge that this is our first ministry. So these are our crazy boys. Our oldest is Sam. He's 14. He's super into mountain biking and skiing. So he is a fan of Colorado. It took a little convincing to get him there. He loved Blacksburg, but he's solidly a fan now. So he's great. The 14-year-old years have been, well, it's just been hard, but we're actually really glad to be here with you guys Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday nights, all on our own, so it feels great, but we do love them. This is Matthew. He's 11, and he's kind of my deep thinker. He's sweet, he's artistic, and he loves electronics, so it's just been neat to see. He says he wants to be an electrician, so we'll see where that goes. That's Noah. He's just Noah. He's got a lot of energy, and he's 8, and he's just fun, a little bit crazy, but I tell people this is our missionary picture because we don't typically stand in fields of tall grass wearing matching clothes. I don't know if you guys do, but we don't. So this is kind of a picture that we have on a magnet that's out at the front counter. There's a place later I'll give you the chance to put your name on the list for our prayer letter sign up. But that's the picture that's on that magnet. This next picture is really kind of more typically what we're doing. Noah's always got a stick, and we're usually doing some sort of crazy adventure that involves some sort of story or drama, and this happened to be one of them. I'll let Rob say something about that. So that's a, you know, like if I was being transparent with you guys, I'd say this is really how we look. But in all honesty, the next picture is actually really how we look. That's us. That's our craziness, and that's our family, and we love our boys, and just thankful for the way that God's given us the ability to have time with them, to have a chance to kind of bring them into the ministry that he's given us. So we're kind of all in, like that picture demonstrates. That's who we are. We're all in. So yeah, that's a little bit about us.
So just see if I can go back here. Just a little bit more about our family craziness. This picture here is in Blacksburg, and we're moving out here, and this is the day that the movers have come, and they've packed everything up, you know, and we're sleeping on the floor, and the next day we're driving out all the way across the country. And Chandra's like, hey, why don't we get some family pictures? And so she calls the local gal. And so this is us. We, you know, we're pretending life is not crazy at this moment, but we're in the midst of chaos and go out into this. So the next picture here, this was a camping trip that we took in West Virginia. Oops. And we're taking this picture, and it rained all weekend to the point of our final night there. We came back to the campsite, and there was probably 3 inches of water around the picnic table, and the camp stove is sitting there. And I kind of, we're pulling up, and I'm looking, I'm thinking, well, we could either like fix dinner here, standing in the puddle of water, or we can go in town and get pizza. So we pitched the camping for that night and went into town, grabbed pizza. But as we're taking this picture in the weekend of rain, it was about a mile and a half out there, and as we're standing there, we're like, quick, get a picture, because we see this lightning and the wind coming up from the southwest, of just coming, you know, and it's, we got to make it back to the car. So the end of it was us running and telling the kids, go faster, we got to make it, to this giant storm chasing us back to the car. So we just barely made it, and we get in the car, and it's just started pouring. So that's our adventuresome life that we lived. So we're going to leave it on the crazy picture here. We share a little bit about our history. As I said, we have Air Force tradition in the family. I got out of high school and spent a couple of years going to college trying to figure out what I'd like to do with life, and couldn't figure it out, so I said, well, I'll just join the Air Force. And so I was in for 4 years, got out in 97. During that time, that's when we met. It was up as McCord Air Force Base, and yay, McCord in Washington. So we loved it up there, but it was just a time when we were both young and single, and different people kind of came to us and said, hey, would love to invest in you. And so for me, it was a navigator guy that sort of mentored me for 9 years and really has been my mentor for the last 20 years. He still lives in Seattle. But just a small group, it was just a real valuable time for us at that stage. So moved on from the Air Force, transitioned and did financial planning for a few years. Went through a rough road of that around 2001, and the markets went south with 9/11, and went through a few job transitions. We wound up moving from Seattle to North Carolina, and we had a six-month-old at that time, and it was kind of a step of faith for us to say, okay, we're going to go and do this. 8 months later, in Charlotte, North Carolina, we realized this isn't really working. And my bosses called me in and said, hey, you know, we don't think it's a good fit. And I said, hey, praise the Lord, you know, this is awesome, you know. And they're like, you're not upset? And I'm like, no, you know, it's like, this is an answer to prayer. But at that point, I was like, I don't know what I'm going to do next, God. You know, what should we do? So through a number of things, we found ourselves going to volunteer at a camp in Pennsylvania, which is owned by Officers Christian Fellowship. White Sulphur Springs, if any of you have been there, or Spring Canyon in Colorado, sister camp. So we went and volunteered for a couple weeks, and the director there said, hey, you know, we need somebody for about 9 months to come and work. And we said, okay, well, we're not doing anything else for the next 9 months. We may as well come here. And so we went, and through a series of events, we ended up staying 9 years. And so that was a blessing just to be there and be a part of the ministry to family camp there, and youth camp, and the staff kids that were mostly military dependents would come there as high schoolers and college age. So we did that about 8 years into it.
We loved our time there. We loved the fact that it was military families that came, but the thing we loved the most was staff kids. One of the guys in this room, Parker, he always came with his family. So just getting to know the families was awesome, but when you had staff kids that would come for the summer and they would come multiple summers, that's when we began to think, what we really love is this ministry and this outreach to the teens and young adults. So that was like where our heart began to be shaped for ministry to college age and the military. It was just a neat dynamic there. But anyway, sorry. Mm-hmm.
So about 8 years into it, we sort of, I got the sense that it was, you know, maybe God was leading us to move on, and we discussed it a little through that fall. And
we argued about it, actually. He said that he felt like we should, and I said, no, definitely not.
So, and the struggle was that we loved it there. It was on 1,000 acres, and we had an old farmhouse and with wood floors and a pond and a barn and woods and a creek for the kids. And it was kind of like, well, why would we leave here? This is great. You know, we don't have any desire to move on. I came home from a conference in December, and finally, and we had argued about it 3 or 4 times, and I came home and I said, Chandra, we have to go. And I just got this sense that God was saying it's time to move on. And she was like, okay, well, what are we going to do? And I said, I have no idea what we're going to do. Probably not the best position to be in, but...
Hard to follow that, you know.
You know, it was a faith step journey that we were on, and I said, well, God's got something for us, and we just need to trust and move on. And we told my boss, hey, I don't know when we're leaving or where we're going, but I don't want you to hear through the grapevine that we're looking for something else. So through that, we started applying to different things and kind of, all right, Lord, where are you going to open the door? And we applied to staff with Crew Military. And
well, knowing that they had a program for staff at senior military colleges and academies. So that was our heart. We thought, huh, that would be really neat. That would be this component of loving college-age students and loving the military, and being able to do both those together would be really awesome. And so I know when we applied with Crew Military, they said, well, make sure you're called to this. And I thought, well, if we're not called, then we're really crazy to be leaving this place we love. So it's either we're called or we're crazy. I'm not sure which. But we just felt like the Lord was asking us to step forward in that direction, and so we did.
Yeah, we just kind of got to the point where, like, well, we don't know. We're just kind of figure out what God wants for us. And through these other events in life, we saw that God was opening the door for cadet ministry. So they had asked us if we could go to the Citadel, and I said, I don't ever want to live in Charleston. So I said, I don't think that God's calling me to Charleston. They said, well, what about Blacksburg, Virginia? And I thought, okay, Blacksburg, it's far enough away from the ocean to not have all the humidity, and it's tucked in the mountains a little bit. So yeah, we'd do Blacksburg. So we wound up in Blacksburg for 3 years. A couple years, about not even 2 years into it, the organization came and said, hey, what would you guys think about going to the Air Force Academy? And for us, 9 years at the retreat center, and not really having a local community or a church body to be a part of because of the weekend ministry environment there. We were just getting established in the church there after not even 2 years. Of course, they said to me, let's do it. You know,
and
let's
I
go.
Said, and no.
Chandra said no. And so we worked through some of that, and there's some other life things going
by
on.
By worked through, he means we argued about it. So, you know, it's all right.
Yeah, well, with the organization, too, and we actually said no in October, about a year and a half ago. We said, no, I think God wants us to stay here in Blacksburg and just be invested long-term, and we already had established ministry, and weren't really interested in starting over and, you know, afresh and anew and going through all that transition again, and we thought, okay, you know, we're just going to stay here. We think God wants us to stay here. So we told them no, and about a month later, there was some leadership shift at the top, and they came back to us and said, hey, just give us a status report, where you guys are at, what's going on. And so we told them, we're going to stay in Blacksburg for a while. And he talked to the big boss later that day and said, hey, why don't you call him back? And Joe told Jim, said, no, you call him back. I've already talked to him. So I got a call the following Monday from the national director for the cadet ministry and said, hey, would you guys pray about going to the Air Force Academy? And I was like, really, God? I mean, come on. We've been through this already. So I said, okay, yeah, we'll pray about it. Of course we'll pray about it. What else are we going to say? So we started talking to people, and a lot of people that had been invested in our lives over the years. And as we moved forward, everybody said yes. Not one person said, no, we don't think that's a good idea. You shouldn't do it. Everybody said yes, yes, yes. So we kind of came to the conclusion that
to the conclusion that we are willing, which is, I think, where God wants us to be all the time. But I wasn't. I was holding on to what I knew and loved with a really closed fist and saying, you put us here for a reason. I know we're supposed to be here. We love it here. And so, no, we're not willing. I'm not willing to move. So God just really changed my heart and said, you know, can you trust me anywhere? Can you follow me anywhere? And so for me, it was like, yes, I think. So that's when, you know, I think that we had to go back to, like, well, what is our heart and our passion for ministry? Like, why would we consider going to the academy? What are we doing? So so anyway, I would say for us, what we struggled through and wrestled with is it wasn't a place we loved. It wasn't a particular spot. It wasn't this beautiful place in Pennsylvania. It wasn't this beautiful place in Virginia. It was, we want to be squarely where God would have us and where he would call us to. And that's really what our heart and our passion is. So for me, one of the verses that was important to me, it was Philippians 3:8-10. It says, "What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and the participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death." So for me, that was like a huge verse for me to say, yes, Lord, I will go and I will follow. And what we found from just the experiences we had is that this verse is also really key to us in 1 Thessalonians. Because we loved you so much, we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. And that's our heart, is we don't just want to teach people or instruct people or give them some sort of lesson, but we want to just pour our lives into people. So that for us is super cool.
A couple of verses that have spoke to me over the years, and just kind of God directing our path, are John 17:3, and now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. And 2 Corinthians 4:2, but we have renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word, but by the open statement of the truth, we would commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. So just with the, what I like to call life-to-life ministry, we just kind of have the heart to connect with people, whether that's somebody at the grocery store or it's meeting with a cadet for 2 or 3 or 4 years. I kind of look at it as, you know, how can I invest in that person's life that they may more fully know and love God? And so whatever that interaction is, I'm not always faithful to that. I'll sometimes get prompted to say something, and if you're in the checkout line and you're just trying to get home, and you're just like, oh, okay, I'm, no, but often I find myself, God saying, okay, speak to that person or invest in this person. But as we live life together and we come away, how can we reflect this? And we have a little video that we wanted to show.
Yeah, we have a little video. And the thing that most excites me about this video is it was made by some of our students from Virginia Tech. So they made this last year. And one of our staff guys said, hey, you guys should think about making a video. And they're like, yeah, and they just took it and ran with it entirely. So this video really kind of demonstrates a lot. We didn't tell them what to say or what to do. This is just their heart expressed, and it's kind of our heart too. And as you're looking at it, some of the titling is a little different, so I'll explain that. So at the academies, at Air Force Academy, Naval Academy, and hopefully we're looking at West Point too, our ministry is, well, we're part of Campus Crusade for Christ. I probably should have said that, but they've shortened it to CRU just to make it easier. So CRU Military is at those academies. At the ROTC locations, it's called Valor. So it's the same organization, it's the same thing. It's just at two different spots. So this video will say Valor throughout. That's what it will say. So if you want to run that, it'd be great.
There is a need for people who can both go through the rigorous military training and be able to talk about the love and mercy of Christ. I went to church. I did good things. But I was not walking with the Lord, and I didn't know the Lord.
It's so important that we have a community, people who love Jesus Christ, are willing to go out and pursue other people who need him.
Valor is worth investing in because it really changes the lives of future leaders of America. Community with other believers is incredibly important.
During my freshman year, I really wanted to find a community of believers that I could reach out to and just grow together with. And Valor really encouraged me and helped me develop myself.
So I can clearly see how Valor has changed my own life. It's brought me from a place where I was walking with Jesus by myself to a place where I'm walking with Jesus with other people.
You can fulfill those deep, dark needs that you don't want to talk to other people about because you're concerned about looking weak in front of your peers. You're concerned about that standing you have at your ROTC.
Jesus still came to give us life abundantly. a life that's richer than we could ever expect, not just in heaven when we feel with him, but on this side of heaven too. And men and women here at Possess and Midshipmen, go out into the world, to places like Afghanistan, Iraq, Africa, Korea, across the states, and through your investment, you get to help with that, help the spread of the gospel to the world, the nations.
I think Valor really taught me that there's a need in the military for people who want to follow Christ.
Then he said to them all, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me.
There is literally nothing that is from this woman's life that I can possibly hope to gain that could compare it to know Jesus Christ.
So as we continue to watch that video over the years, for me, you know, coming here even and seeing students around town and just Air Force and being at the academy and cadets, I remember we went to visit about a year ago to House Hunt, and we went up to the academy, and just watching this and thinking about cadets in the military and just people throughout the military and just the need and the sense that people need to know that God loves them. But they also need to know that they need God's love. And so that's a little bit of what we get when we watch the video and we see, you know, just people on base or off base here in town or even back in Colorado Springs just get the sense of what God has called us to.
Yeah, and the thing, the last service we were like both crying, but anyway, we're okay now. But I think the thing that makes us feel like really excited about that video is just those lives. It's not the video, it's not what they said, it's the fact that each of those lives is really, really important to us and really means a lot to us. And so I think the other thing that's cool is just knowing the story of where all those people in that video have gone. I know, you know, each one, one's down at Pensacola for, well, now he's down at Pensacola for pilot training, another one's in Newport News, and he's going through, you know, a change of plans with the Navy. But anyway, just to see where each of them has taken and the heart they've taken into that. They're not just like, okay, well, I did that thing in college and that was cool. They're out there in the world. They're connecting with other believers. They're involved in fellowship. They're reaching out. They're doing what we always envision them doing, which is to really make an impact for Christ out in the military. So for us, that's just super cool. One of the stories, I told Sally I was going to tell a story on her, and I just will, but I met her in the dirt one day. I was going to tea with some other gals, and I'd never met her. You'd think there's only 150 gals in the Corps at Virginia Tech. You'd think we would have met, but we never did. But she was doing some sort of Saturday morning, whatever they called those things. What did they call that? When some of the freshmen got in trouble, then she was supervising them with trying to do some different chores and stuff around campus. And so there was another guy that was working with her, and so I said, hey, you should come to tea with us. And she's very... she's very fastidious. She said, no, you know, I've got to finish this job with this other guy, and we're, you know, supervising these freshmen. I'm like, well, I'm sure your friend will be happy to finish up for you. And she's like, I'm like, he would, wouldn't you? And I looked at him, he goes, sure, great. So she ran and got changed, and she came with us. And sometimes you just know when you meet somebody that it's going to be a special relationship. And so that's kind of how I felt about her. And so we just started meeting together weekly and just investing in each other's lives. And I don't know if she knows this, but she's meant so much more to me than I think I could ever mean to her. And so what I've learned and grown and seen in her life has been exciting. But one thing I said to her is, hey, as we're meeting together and, you know, we're discipling one another, really, I want you to have your eyes open to see who the Lord would have you invest in the future. And she goes, okay. And so 6 months or some time later, she comes back to me and says, you know, I've been thinking about what you said, and I'd really love to pour into the lives of Melanie and Katie. And so she did. She just began pouring into their lives. And they, you know, just to see this multiplication happening was super exciting. And so then she graduated, and I don't think she's ever quite seen what's happened since then, so I'll tell her. But Melanie and Katie were just really excited about reaching the girls below them. And so Judith and Abby and Lindsay kind of came out of that. And so all my heart was like, Lord, how are we going to build up this, you know, this group of girls in the Corps that knows and loves you? So out of Abby and Lindsay and Judith, the next year came Grace and Casey and Mairead and Becky. And so that was really exciting. I knew all of them. Well, this year, I don't know them. We're gone. We've been gone a year. But I just heard from one of the gals, and she said there's six freshman gals that they're all investing in. And all of them recently got together for Melanie that was on the video, Melody's wedding shower. So they all came together as this community of Christian women in the core at Virginia Tech that just really started from one faithful girl. So for me, that's really awesome. But yeah, and then you had a couple other stories from our time there.
Yeah, David, the guy at the end of the video that said that there's nothing in this world that can compare it to knowing Jesus Christ. I remember meeting him the fall semester. Actually, I think it was the first day of class. We were doing they do these little Freezy Pops at Tech, and they hand them out to people and say, hey, would you like to sign up for some information? And he's coming by as a junior, and all the freshmen are scared to death because it's the first day of class, and they just got through New Cadet Week. But I said to David, hey, man, what do you think about doing a Bible study this year? And he's like, well, I don't know. I don't really know the Bible that well, and my life's still kind of messy, and I'm not sure I'm really ready for that or prepared. And his heart had always been to be a Navy chaplain. And I said, well, hey, buddy, you want to be a Navy chaplain, and so it's now or never. We'll help you through it. You won't be perfect, and that's okay. You don't need to be. We'll work together, and you'll learn and grow. So over the last 4 years, it's just been neat to see him grow from a little bit timid, a little bit uncertain, where am I going with life, to the point where he's graduated. He wasn't in ROTC, he was just part of the Corps of Cadets because he wanted to be able to go to seminary and not have the commitment afterwards, but he wanted the military education. But he took a year off after school. He's like, okay, I just spent 4 years. I'm kind of burnt out. I'm not quite ready for seminary yet. And I said, well, that's okay. You can take 3 years off and go to seminary afterwards, and you're still only 27. You'll have plenty of time to be a chaplain. But he took a year off, and I said to him, I said, you have the opportunity to invest in cadets, particularly freshmen, in a way that nobody else does. Not that I can't, because I'm just the old guy, and the upperclassmen can't because the freshmen are terrified of them and they don't talk to them. And so you're graduated, you're a normal person now. And so he's in his second year of doing that. He's still looking at seminary. But just to know that him and Chris and Ben and Matt and these other guys that are now out in the Marine Corps, in the Navy, in the Air Force, in the Army, out there, living their faith out, connecting with other people, reaching out, encouraging them, is just neat to see God work in their lives.
Yeah. So we see that heart, and we see that passion that God gave us in Virginia, and we know that He wants to do something similar at the Air Force Academy. So we're excited about what we have there. We came in totally new. We're like, oh my goodness, we don't know anything about this place or about what's expected or about what it looks like. And so we've just been learners this year. We were like, okay, Lord, show us the people you want us to meet. Show us the things we need to learn. Just, help us make connections and just figure out what that looks like. So the Lord's been really faithful to do that. And, of course, you have this idea about how it would look in another place, and you just can't compare the two. They're apples and oranges. They're totally different. There's some expectations and rules and regulations at the Academy that, we just have to understand that they're in place. For example, at Virginia Tech, Rob would just go into the dining hall, and, there's all the civilians, and then there was all the people in uniforms. So it's just easy to be like, hey, you're a cadet. So he could just walk up to somebody and be like, hey, my name's Rob, and just start talking to him. It's just not as easy at the Academy. So we're just like, Lord, show us how you want to lead and direct. But there is a couple neat things that have happened this year that I just want to tell you about. We have a couple pictures, just some snapshots. This one was in the fall. I had a gal that I really didn't know come up to me and say, hey, I want to do C with the pole at the Academy. How do I do that? And I'm like, I don't know. So she said, am I allowed? I said, I'm sure you're allowed. I just don't know what the process is for being allowed. So we talked to the chaplain. He said, that'll be great. So she just had this heart to do this Sea at the Pole event. And so she worked with another friend, and they just ran with it. I think we got them donuts and coffee or something, but they just took it and ran with it. They announced it at Mitch's, the dining hall, the night before, and she said she'd be happy if like 10 or 20 people showed up. I think there was like 150 cadets that showed up like at 6:45 before their first class just to pray together. And it, for them, it was just so encouraging to be like, hey, we can do this here. We can pray together. We can grow in our faith together here at the Academy and right there on the TSO by the flagpole. So for her, it was just really, really encouraging. The next one is So on Monday nights, they have something called SPIRE. It stands for Special Programs in Religious Education. And the neat thing about this, it's not just us, Crew Military. There's all kinds of ministries at the Academy. There's OCF, there's Navigators, there's us, there's BSU, there's RUF, and there's all these evangelical ministries and many others that exist there. And they all meet on Monday nights from 6:20 to 7:50. So that's the little window that we have with them. But this was just a night where they all decided they wanted to wear flannels together. And so they did, you know, just because.
It was man night.
It was man night. And so anyway, it was just good. The next one is, this was a winter retreat we just did in Breckenridge in January. And for us, it was one of the first times that we had a chance to really just get to know students in a place that was outside the academy. There's a big difference that happens once you leave the grounds. So this for us was really fun. I think it was a house that slept 12. And I think we had another house too, but I think there were 60 people. So, you know, I mean, it was a really big house with very few beds. So we just made it work. But this was great. And the next one is, this is just last weekend. A bunch of us girls went hiking in a place nearby. And I was telling the past service, I gave out maps because I thought that they would read maps. And a couple of them were like, oh, we don't really do maps. So I was thinking, aren't you guys at the academy? Don't you do land nav? And so anyway, one of them got lost for a while, a good long while. We finally found her. And there were some tense moments because, anyway, I don't know what happened. It kind of went kablooey, but it's still fun. So the next one is just some pictures of things that have gone on this summer, just faces. These are people that we're excited to get to know, that we kind of know, but we're excited to just begin to pour into their lives and have them really pour into our lives and see where the Lord takes it. We went apple picking and the guys went shooting, and that was the Newsies show we went to. So anyway, these are just some faces. I think that's it on that. But just some particular stories I'd share. You know, like I said, sometimes you just meet somebody and you know. There's a girl named Lauren, just has a heart for freshman girls, freshman cadets. And, you know, it's not easy at the academy when you're an upperclassman to really invest in the life of a freshman, especially when you're, you know, looking to share with them about Christ or spiritual things. It can feel really difficult. But she just has a real heart for it. Wherever there's a freshman girl, she's just drawn to them like a, you know, bees to honey, or whatever I'm trying to say, honeys to bee. Anyway, she's just like a magnet to them, and she's attractive, not like just physically attractive, but her presence and something about her attracts girls. And so they want to say, hey, you're walking as a Christian woman throughout the academy. Like, what does this look like? How do I do it like you're doing it? So that's really neat. She's engaged this year, and so it's just been a hard year for her, but she knows her fiance is off at pilot training in Oklahoma. And so she said, I've got a year without him. And what I want to do is I want to spend my year really growing closer to the Lord and investing in the lives of others. So for me to hear her say that is pretty exciting. Another guy, Colin, he is actually back for his senior year. 3 years ago, at the end of his junior year, he found out he had cancer. And so he left. And it's been three really crazy, hard years. But God has healed him. He's back, you know, full strength pretty much. And so he just came back for his senior year. So to be gone for 3 years and come back is really hard. He's with a whole different class of people. But he's just a leader. He leads by example, and whatever you need him to do, he's willing to do. And again, people just see him and just do what he does, you know. He leads our worship for us, and he's awesome. One thing he did recently is he contacted me about another gal who's a sophomore that he really had a heart for, a gal, and he said, I need you to meet this gal, and she needs somebody to invest in her life and be a mentor to her. Will you meet her? And I'm like, sure. So we met, and boy, you know, I kind of tease with Rob, but the level of discipleship there is like, instead of like at a 100, 200, you know, like, you know, level, it's like 400 level discipleship. And there's just a lot going on there in that place, a lot of things that people are facing and girls are facing that are really hard. So for me, it's been neat, but also a real challenge in a lot of ways. The last thing I'd share is a clock, right? Shoot, I won't share that, but never mind. Go ahead. I was just going to say, I got a Facebook message recently, actually from one of the gals at Virginia Tech with a kind of a big question. And so I brought it before the girls at the academy, not saying who it was or anything, but saying, hey, how would you guys answer this question? Help me think it through so I can get back to her. And the question she asked was, I'm really conflicted because I'm supposed to fill all these different positions in my life. A soldier who is willing to die and kill for my nation. She's Army, and she's going into field artillery. A loving daughter, a sister, a friend, a mentor, a Christian, an athlete, and so much more. I can't figure out how to be vulnerable and just open up completely and let Jesus Christ take over. I like the feeling that I have control, and it makes me uncomfortable leaving it all up to him. I'm also really struggling with the idea that God will love me unconditionally, even though my profession revolves around killing our nation's enemies. I want to believe that God will love us no matter what, but killing is literally taking away the life that God himself gave to that individual. So she's like, wow, I'm about to enter, you know, she wants to be the first, one of the first army gals on the front lines, but she's just struggling with that. Like, what does that look like, and how do I reconcile this? And so for me, it's just really neat to hear other gals say, okay, well, maybe I've never thought about that, or maybe I have, and this is how I'm processing it. So for me, it was just really neat to be able to go back to her with some other thoughts.
Yeah, it's always fun to see God connect the dots in our lives, and just the fact of running into Parker yesterday, and he saw me, and I was in Chinto's, and he came over and said, hey, and I had talked with his folks a couple months ago, and we knew that he was down here, but sort of kind of forgotten, you know, but just to see that. So a few other examples of that, one freshman, Alex, he's from Olympia, Washington, and great kid, and he's really one of the freshmen that is just kind of moving forward, and sometimes they need somebody to draw them in, but Alex is just engaged, and he comes to a Bible study on Monday night that we're doing in Romans, and there's just him. He's the only freshman, and a bunch of other upperclassmen. And so we're in Romans 1, and we get to the verse about, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. And so his question was, well, you know, how do I do that as a cadet? How do I live out the gospel and share my faith and in the military? And we talked about it a little bit and shared, and the other cadets had some input. But the next day, we happened to be going to a prayer luncheon at the academy who had General Costin, the chief of chaplains for the Air Force, was there to speak. And Alex happened to show up. I didn't know that he was coming, and just a few cadets were there, and he happened to be one of them. But General Costin just did a great job of sharing his faith and his belief. And so afterwards, I went up to Alex, and I said, that's how you do it right there, just from the top. Seeing the example of living out your faith and being a witness in the military. A couple other stories. Brandon is a junior, and he comes on Monday nights, and he's kind of quiet, and he says he's not very social, probably an introvert, and a great guy, is involved with another ministry on Wednesday nights and does worship for them and is in a small group there. But just listening to him, and he came on our guys' retreat that we had a couple months ago, and I just got the sense that, hey, this guy is somebody that I need to approach and engage, and we sat down and had a great talk, and I said, hey, you know, what do you think about meeting once a week, and we'll just kind of, you know, grab a book of the Bible and start going through it. So that's been neat to see God open the doors there, because coming from tech and being invested for 3 years there, it's easy to kind of put that model on our first year here at the academy, and then we've only really been there about 8 months, and so we're just, you know, we're starting over, but to remember, we're not going to get exactly what we had at tech here, but to see God through the year open up these doors has been really encouraging. A couple examples just from tech about life impact. I got the sense a couple years ago that God was saying, hey, just take steps of faith in the lives of people. And so I would go down to the chow hall. There's a dining facility called Turner where all, most of the cadets would go. You know, they're up for formation at 7, and so everybody else on campus is sleeping in, and they would go over and get breakfast because they're already up. And so that would be a great place to be in the morning because there's nobody else there but cadets. And so we'd go, and I'd kind of say, all right, Lord, who do you want me to talk to? And this one particular kid, one day I went in and I saw him, and I could tell he was a freshman because he was by himself and he didn't have any hair. And so I sort of said, oh, is that guy? Maybe I should talk to him. And I sort of thought, well, maybe there's somebody else around here I know, and, you know, not wanting to engage that awkwardness. And so I wrestled for a couple times and finally thought, okay, yes, that's the guy. I'll get off my butt and go over there and talk to this kid. So I sat down with him, and it was so neat because as a senior in high school, he had got a car and didn't have any faith background whatsoever, started going to church on his own, and from what I tell, just kind of came to faith on his own by going. I don't think anybody had ever come to him. But he was so attentive and so locked in every word I said. And I said, hey, you know, what do you think about just meeting? We'll go through the book of John, and So we spent that year, it was our last year there, just meeting once a week and digging into Scripture and encouraging each other, and just learned a ton together. So
yeah,
it was great.
So as we like see how God's led us and directed us, and do you see what time it is?
Mm-hmm.
For us, we've realized that gospel is really applicable, of course, everywhere, but it's really applicable at the academy when you've got this level of stress and high pressure and this sort of can-do mentality, which often somewhat seems contrary to what the gospel is. And so we don't want people just to think, oh, I can take care of this, I can handle my life, I can get it all figured out. You really can't. You need the grace and the mercy and the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. So this is what we are trying to communicate to people in a way that, of course, you still want to keep your homework up and you want to keep your grades up, but man, you can't do it on your own. And so for us, it's just neat to be able to see like how the gospel is so much more meaningful in a place where it's almost so contradictory. It's a really dynamic environment. Sometimes that's a nice way to say it's hard. But there's just a lot of stuff that's going on that makes, for us, we just feel like sometimes we're swimming in new things and trying to figure out life. But one neat thing is there's all kinds of ministries there. Like I mentioned, there's OCF, there's NAVS, there's BSU, there's RUF. And so all of those together, we have a really good relationship. It's not like we're in competition or it's some weird thing where we're trying to like one-up one another. It's just neat to see the body of Christ has just come together there. We're also making connections with administration and chaplains just to be able to better serve there and to sort of know what we're doing. So that's been good.
Mm-hmm. Just in closing here, some areas that you could pray for us in just the spiritual battle at the academy. I mean, we knew the strategic nature of ministry to cadets and their potential and leadership in the future. And we knew that going into tech, and we experienced some spiritual warfare there. It's a different dynamic and a different intensity at the academy. So, you know, we're aware of it and we're prepared to deal with it, but it's a constant, something that we always have to be aware of. Our staff team coming together is pretty new. We have four different backgrounds of people for kind of our core team. We have us, and then we have a newly retired lieutenant colonel that's invested in the ministry. We have another couple that they spent about 30 years in Poland and Russia, and so they bring a unique perspective. And then we have a young single gal, and then we have somebody who's been a professor for 18 years, Dr. Jensen. If any of you guys had Dr. Jensen at the academy, he's been involved with the ministry. And so we have other volunteers, and so it's a very complex, dynamic, unique ministry team there. So that's part of it. And just developing relationships with cadets or a permanent party in our church or faculty and staff up there, and just how do we balance the different aspects of ministry at the academy.
Yeah. What does it look like right now, and what do we want it to look like in the future? We don't know. But we know that right now there is a Monday night component, like I said, with the Spire program. We have a bunch of Bible studies that meet throughout the week, and then our heart is for discipleship. So that's been something that hasn't been as active in the last few years. So like I said, we're just on the lookout, Lord. Where would you lead us and guide us to be able to just be part of people's lives? And so a couple of the guys are already like, our house is now a Sunday house. So they come over, and laundry's a big part of that. Food's also a big part of that. But really just hanging out with them on a Sunday afternoon is the best. So we love that. We feel like that's where some of the really growth and the life and the great conversations happen. So, I mean, that I would say if you were somewhat good about sending out prayer letters, and so we have a sign-up sheet on the desk out there. If you guys would like to get a bi-monthly-ish prayer letter, just sign out there. There's also magnets with the official picture that we showed you, the good picture, that's out there too. And if you would stick that on your fridge and just pray that we'd be willing to go where God would call us and do what he'd ask us to do and say what he'd ask us to say and just be available, we would love that. And we've really enjoyed, you know, I teased that I didn't want to go all these places, and I didn't, but I'm so thankful that the Lord pushed me out of my little comfort zone and brought me to a place where we're really able to walk with him and trust him in a new and different way. So super glad for what he's done in our lives. So.
And last thing before we let Steve come back up, I'm just excited again to be here and the connection that God has brought and just the opportunity and the potential in the future. We don't have a whole lot of seniors this year, and I don't think any of them are on the pilot track, but just the potential to be able to say in a year or two or three to say, hey, we got 5 or 10 cadets coming down here, or even to be able to connect with some of the other ministries and say, hey, who do you guys have going to Laughlin? And just to be able to connect them with you guys in their next stage as they come here for a short time and then move on is just encouraging and exciting for us to see that God has opened the door to have a relationship with you guys. So thank you.
Thanks.